Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is going to be four questions with Luisa Novo. Okay, so you need to know about the four questions and Luisa. Luisa is the extremely talented filmmaker who's had two films at Film Invasion Los Angeles. She actually had a film at the 2017 festival, and she came back again and had a film at the 2020 festival, which does make her one of our coveted repeat customers. And if you've ever run a film festival, you'd know just how cool it is when someone comes back and you love their first film and then you love their second film even more. And Luisa came in to do an interview about her film that is in the Discovery Indie Film TV series called Becoming Lucy. And while she was here, she answered the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are: name your favorite movies, name a movie that's underrated, name a movie that's overrated, and name a lesser-known movie that people should seek out. Okay, before we hop into her answers, I did mention that Becoming Lucy, the film that Luisa wrote and directed, is in the Discovery Indie Film TV series. I just should mention that you should go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime Video, Season 1, Episode 10, and I can guarantee you'll like it. But enough setup, let's hear Luisa's answers to the four questions.
Yeah, so it's very hard. I have a very bad memory. So a lot of times I remember the feeling the movie left with me, if I liked it or not. But sometimes I forget why, and I definitely forget details. So I kind of rewatched it, two of them yesterday. And so I wouldn't say they're my favorite of all time. But yeah, they are movies that I remember from the very first viewing. I really liked it. And that I can rewatch it and still enjoy it. So the first of them is Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was already here when I watched it, 2011. And I just didn't know anything about the movie I watched. I was like, the story is not complicated. There's nothing like major about it, but it's just the way it makes you feel. I don't know.
That's Edgar Winter, right?
No.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of... That's the Gosling one. Which one is Drive?
The Gosling one where he's like a getaway driver. Yeah. And
that is Drive.
Then there's Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Yeah.
That's Winter. Yeah, who did Drive?
Nicholas
Winding Refn.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who he is.
He did, I'm pretty sure he did Place Beyond the Pines. Or maybe he did. And he did Neon Demon. Which I didn't watch. And he did one in Thailand. What is the name of that one?
As a director?
Yeah.
Only God Forgives.
Yeah, Only God Forgives, which I didn't watch it either. So it's like, I really like his style. Maybe I should have watched his other movies, but I heard bad things about it. So, do you know the YouTube channel Every Frame a Painting? You don't know? And YouTube channel does video essays like showing how a movie constructs its language. And so it does have one on Drive and like how he positions like his characters on the quadrants of the frame. And I watched that many years later, but there might be something to it. Like, I can't consciously explain why that movie makes me feel the way I feel. Because it doesn't have a lot of dialogue, to be very honest. I just rewatched yesterday. It's very thin on how the relationship develops because it doesn't have a lot of time. But it's all about the eyes and, like, it just has so many shots of them looking at each other. It's more of a feeling than, like, a plot. And I still enjoy it. I don't know. Every time I watch it, I feel something. And I actually bought the book afterwards, and the book's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much different. But that's one of the movies. And then the other one was Sunset Boulevard. I think I have issues with classic movies because...
The original Sunset
Boulevard. There's another one?
I thought they did a remake.
Did they? Why?
That is a very good question.
Oh,
but it
might
have been... but the original 1950 with Sunset Holden.
Yeah. I don't like classic...
I said Sunset Holden and William Holden.
William Holden.
That was kind of a brain fart.
The acting at that time was very theatrical. So, like, even Casablanca, like, I understand what's a good movie, but the acting is so fake that I have issues with. So this is one of the movies I really like of that time. Singing in the Rain is another one. in the apartment. Billy Wilder is great.
Yeah, Billy Wilder is amazing.
Yeah, so classic-wise, I think this is my favorite movie of those classic movies. And then the other one, it is a coming of age story. It's Adventureland. Do you know it?
Adventureland is great.
Yeah, I love the movie. I remember when I watched it, like, that's the kind of movies I want to make. And I think it ties with the underrated question because it's so underrated. Like, other movies of that type got way more.
Yeah, it came and went. I wonder if
it came and went.
If it actually came up 2 days ago in another podcast.
Really?
Someone mentioned that they like Kristen Stewart, and I said, yeah, I don't know.
I like her.
But I like her in that film. She's perfect in Adventureland, isn't she?
She's okay.
Because, see, I never saw the vampire movies. That Adventureland was the first time I saw her.
So, she might have evolved. I haven't watched her recent stuff. She's, like, became a darling in Europe and stuff. So, I don't know if she evolved. But, and I'm not even a big fan of Jesse Eisenberg. I think he has a limited range.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's also one note.
The two one note people, but they were perfect for that film.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg is really good. Jesse Eisenberg is good in that one. And it's just the story. It's just like, it's from Greg Motola, which directed Superbad. And it's just like, it's a personal story for him. I think it's like, it's set in 87, though he came out in 2009. But I think it's where he worked in an amusement park when he was that age. So it's like semi-autobiographical, if not autobiographical. So I just like the world. And yeah, it's great. And I think it's underrated. I think it deserved more than what it got.
Is that your underrated or is that your...
No, I think it is my
underrated. That's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I really remember when it came out. I was still in college in Brazil. It was 2009. That I just like... I kind of wanted to show all my friends. Like, guys, do you guys want to watch Adventureland with me? And I don't think anybody shared the love like with me, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it's a sweet film.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned underrated. You have your underrated?
Yeah, this one is underrated. And I think Drive is pretty underrated. I remember it didn't got any awards love at the time. It kind of became a cult film afterwards. Like, the soundtrack is amazing. So I think that's underrated as well. Sunset Boulevard is not underrated. It's very much, everybody
it's
knows
highly
about
regarded,
it.
Although it's probably underwatched.
Maybe.
Because even though everyone knows it's this classic, I think I'm a Billy Wilder fan, and Some Like It Hot is just such a fun film to watch over and over.
Need to watch
it. It was my ex's favorite movie of all time, so we would pop the DVD in pretty often, but yeah, Wilder is just one of those.
Just one of those.
I mean, he probably made a film a year for 40 years, so I probably can't say that he never missed. But, I mean, he made wonderful films in the golden age.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Well, so even though all three of your favorites are kind of underrated.
Yeah.
What's your underrated for official answer?
I think it would be Adventureland.
Oh, it is Adventureland.
I think so.
And do you have an overrated one?
Well, I do. Oh, okay. There's another underrated. And I never rewatched it because it's very heavy, but there was Leviathan. There was the Russian contender for the Oscar. I watched it at the AFI Film Fest 2016, maybe? It wasn't that long ago. And it was such a blow. It was like just, the movie is just great. And I don't know many people that have watched it. Like, I constantly, like, talk to people about it, even, like, cinephiles. I don't think a lot of people watch it.
No.
No, they should definitely.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah, it's like a Russian movie, and it's about this characters going through, like, the corruption in the town. Like, this politician went to buy his land. He doesn't want to sell it. And he, like, enlists this friend that's a lawyer to try to take them on, but it's going to be his downfall. It's like, like this very gloomy small town and the politics and stuff around it. It's very good.
Yeah, no, Russian cinema. Well, one of the things about in the USA when we get films from Europe and Russia and elsewhere and even Brazil is we see the best.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to win the Oscar. I don't know who won the Oscar that year, but it was definitely not him. But it's just so good. And the other that I really like, The Hunt.
I don't know The Hunt.
It's also very heavy. I want to say Danish.
Was that your lesser known people should seek out?
Or, yeah, or the lesser known people should seek out. But be warned, it's heavy. It's about this guy who gets accused of rape by a kid. And he didn't do it. But I haven't really rewatched it again because it's just that heavy that I don't think I can rewatch it. But yeah, it's about like all this,
It's Danish.
Is it Thomas Vinterberg?
Yeah. And Mads Mikkelsen.
No, like the director.
Yeah. The director is Thomas Vinterberg.
Yeah. So he was like a big Dogma 95 director at that time. So yeah, he's a very good director. So that's another one that I don't think people watch it enough.
No.
But it's also very heavy. So I went from Adventureland to like... Yeah, gloomy.
Adventureland, where, yeah, it's true. Nothing really bad happens in Adventureland, no. As far as I remember.
Yeah, it's just a comedy, which I love it.
But it's a sweet comedy. It's not over the... It's funny because for that director who's done so many hilarious
raunchy things. Yeah.
It's... I even, you know, he had Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig in
there. Oh, my God. Have you seen the Skeleton Twins?
And they are so good in that film.
They're awesome. They did a movie together called The Skeleton Twins, which is another movie that everybody
should... Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's great. They're brother and sister in the movie.
Adventureland's the only... No, I saw Drive also, but you're naming all these films. So you're this is...
But
the
they're
kind
all contemporary.
This is the kind of four questions who that gives me like
movies
10
to watch.
Films to go watch.
Do you go watch it?
I watch it. I try.
It's true. It's so much to watch. You have to make a decision. You can't watch everything.
Well, you can,
but nowadays, you don't get out of your house.
Nowadays, television gets in the way.
Yeah, I watch more television than films, to be quite honest. Yeah. Handmaid's Tale, Veronica Mars, which is my favorite TV show of all time.
Yeah, and when a show comes out with its new season, like Glow just came out, season 3, and I was like, well, let's watch season 1 and 2, and then 3, because it's been a year.
Yeah, so it's you rewatch it.
That's the plan this weekend.
Yeah, and then it's your whole weekend.
Yeah,
it's
and
one
I could
have
watched, you know, a film Friday night, a film Saturday night.
But there's something about not being committed to watch more than an hour and just watching because you want it, than sitting down to be committed to watch 2 hours out of the bed.
It is.
It's something in the way the brain works. I don't know. Because you end up watching 8 hours of TV when you only needed two to watch a movie.
But it does make me worry that, what's going to happen to... I mean, we still make it to the theaters every once in a while, but...
Yeah.
But it does make me wonder if... your next thing you're doing is episodic.
Yeah, because that's I think I do want to direct TV one day. I know the path to getting into the boat is really hard. I've talked to many people, like shadowing, how do you get those opportunities is already very hard. And unless you have like kind of a feature or more experience, you're not even going to be considered. So I'm going to go my route to land on that later on.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
Boy, did you tell me an overrated? Do you want to do an overrated?
I have a few that... Well, let's start with Shutter Island, I guess. I don't know if that's overrated.
That was the Scorsese one.
Yeah. I've seen on Facebook recently, like, some cinephile people I know, like, rating their all-time favorite Martin Scorsese, and Shutter Island's always in the top 5, and I'm like, really? Because I remember I didn't like the movie when it first came out, and I didn't know the plot, because that's, like, the bigger twist, right? So I didn't know what happened, and I still didn't like it. And then I rewatched it for reference for the short I directed, because there are some scenes, like, with the kid, it's not a memory, the kid shows up in reality, and there is Michelle Williams' character does that in Shutter Island, too. So I rewatched it for that, and I was like, I still don't like it. I don't understand why people like it. It's one, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all about expectations. I try not to have any expectations going to a movie I want to watch. It's hard, especially if you keep hearing about it, reading about it. So I try not to do
that. And if you're familiar with the filmmaker, it's very hard.
Yes.
Yeah, no expectations is the best way to see a film. And you're totally right.
But then Aquaman, that's an overrated one. Well, overrated critically, I was like, did you just like it because all the other DC movies suck so much more? Because that movie's not good.
I've heard it's terrible.
It's terrible. And I went with no expectations. I was in Brazil. I watched it in Brazil. And I was like, I didn't know what
that
was.
The preview looked good. The trailer made it look good. And
I don't know. I don't understand. The tone was completely off. Like, he didn't know what he wanted to be. Characters are just... And it was just not funny. I knew they were trying to make jokes. I'm like, this is not funny. But I have a friend that loved it. Like, but that they wanted to be like that. I was like, I really don't think they wanted to be this mismatch of, like, stuff. But who knows? Some people like it. And from all DC movies, it's the most well-rated, I think. Maybe Wonder Woman wins, but, like,
yeah,
the second
best.
Yeah,
people loved Wonder Woman.
Because all the... Suicide Squad, I refused to watch it. Batman versus Superman, I also refused it. I was like, you can just watch a scene, they know it's bad.
Yeah, you know, Batman versus Superman...
You liked
it. I saw on holiday on a cruise ship. It was showing.
Uh-huh.
And, it's just super boring, and then Wonder Woman shows up and makes it worthwhile.
And I'm like, how are you making five movies that are this expensive?
And the name of the how sexist is that? The name of the film was Batman versus Superman.
And then Wonder Woman saves the day.
And it's only interesting when she's on camera.
You know?
The title should have been Wonder Woman Saves the Day.
Who is writing these movies that don't know they are bad? Who is greenlighting the stuff and throwing all this money at it? It's amazing.
It just goes to show that the... Paul, what's his name, who manages the Marvel Universe for them?
Paul Feig. Yeah, he knows his shit.
He made sure that every Marvel film is fairly interesting. The weakest are still good.
The heads of Warner Brothers have experience with making films. So there's no way they don't know what a good screenplay looks like. It doesn't matter if it's a superhero movie. You still need a good screenplay. Stop greenlighting bad screenplays. Just hire a better screenwriter. Just get rid of whatever is happening right now.
Yeah, I really don't understand it. I don't understand it.
So much
But
money.
Now Joker looks like it'll be good. But who knows?
I don't know if I'll watch it. I might watch it. If there's good reviews, I might watch it. But yeah. I'm not going to pay money to see it unless I know it's good.
Good strategy.
Yeah, Aquaman was the... I don't know what happened there. Aquaman. There was nothing else to watch in Brazil. Kind of fair. Like, my hometown is small. It's what was on.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and then, do you have a lesser known that people should seek out? Or almost everything, half the things you mentioned, I need to seek out?
Yeah, definitely. It felt like Love If You Like Coming of Age. So, like, I really like the way Eliza Hittman does it. Lesser known. I said a bunch of lesser known.
You said, yeah. In fact, the Danish one, The Hunt.
Yeah, The Hunt. Yeah, it's the actor from Hannibal, if people want to, they will listen to him.
And those were Luisa Novo's answers to the Discovery Indie Film 4 questions. And I have to say, whenever an international filmmaker names these international films that I've never seen, it always makes me feel like I've got a lot of homework to do. Homework aside, I really want to thank Luisa Novo for coming in, doing a Discovery Indie Film interview, and then answering the four questions for this podcast. And I've got to do some house cleaning. I've got to mention the TV series, the film festivals, and that's about it. So the TV series, Luisa Novo's film, Becoming Lucy, is in Season 1, Episode 10 of Discovery Indie Film on Amazon Prime Video. So just go to Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film. There's actually three seasons, and they're all superb. But if you want to focus in on Luisa's episode, she is in Season 1, Episode 10. And I just mentioned Film Invasion LA, so that is one of the film festivals I program. It takes place here in LA every June. And at the time I'm recording this, hey, it is accepting entries. And if you want to learn more about it, just go to filminvasionla.com. Or on social media, it's always at Film Invasion LA. But I do program a second film festival. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, which you can learn more about at ShermanOaksFF.com. Or on social media, it is at ShermanOaksFF. All right, I think I've already talked too long, so I'm going to say thanks for listening.